What I say about this entrepreneurship journey is I have figured out how to make money from nothing. And so that is a skill that I would forever go back and do again.
Hello, and welcome to Financials Podcast Future Rich. I'm your host, Barbara Ginty, and I'm a CFP, which is a certified financial planner. And I'm super excited for this expert session with my good friend, Krista. Hi, Krista.
Hi, thank you for having me. I am so excited to dive in today with you.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. So for our listeners, she owns her own business. So we're going to talk about how she became an entrepreneur and all about her company, which is super interesting and something I had actually never heard of before I met you, but I'm obsessed with now. So
But you never heard of it because we made it up, and that tends to be what we do. So for anyone listening who wants to, you know, make up their own industry, just go ahead and do it. No one's going to question. They're just going to be like, yeah, that's great. We honestly were struggling to define it and to define what we're doing. And when I say we, I'm talking about my husband. So he's my business and life partner, and we have two little kids together. And when we were trying to define what Owl & Key is, there was no industry or frame of reference that felt suitable. And so we finally just said, we're a lifestyle design company. And we called it that. And that was that.
It makes so much sense when you say it, though, because I feel like life happens to a lot of people. And you see, especially you hear people when they get older, like, this isn't what I had planned. This is not how I thought my life would turn out. You hear, right? You hear that. And so this is all about the intentionality of like making sure you live the life that you want and achieve what you desire, right?
Yeah. It's all about not having that moment when you get to the end of the life and you're like, similar to financials, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to get to the end of your life and feel like, oh, I don't have enough money to retire. You want to get to the end of your life and not have regrets. You want to be proud of the way you lived and say, I prioritize what's most important to me. I lived the life that I wanted to. That dash mm-hmm. between the numbers on the gravestone, not to be morbid, but to really kind of give perspective. I want that dash to be full of everything that I wanted in my life, not what other people told me I should want, not what society said is quote unquote successful, but what is successful to me inherently. And so we just say that intention is the antithesis of regret. And we are out there trying to help as many people kind of unlock that inner wisdom and bring that to the surface and then design their life around what matters most and just do more of what they love and less of what they don't.
I mean, I love that. I just think too many people get on this treadmill, like after, you know, when you're younger, it's a little easier, but you get locked into this like treadmill of we rinse and repeat and there's no intentionality behind it.
Yeah,
like you're just stuck.
You keep going. Yeah, you feel stuck or you feel like mm-hmm. you don't have the confidence or the clarity to make decisions, to make changes. Mm-hmm. And if we believe that having an intentional life is deeply rooted in self-awareness, so really understanding who you are, what you value most, and what you actually want in life, which you and I have talked a lot about, and really fully understanding that about yourself so that you can not get stuck in that treadmill. You can say yes to the treadmills you want to get on, and you can say no thank you to the ones that you want to get
on. Yeah, I want
on.
This speed, this incline, and this TV screen. I don't want that one.
100%. And just having that clarity and confidence because you know yourself well enough to say yes to the things that fit for you and mm-hmm. no to the things that don't.
So how did you come to this? Like, how do you end up owning a lifestyle, creating like an arena, right? Like, I mean, you created a word and a meaning, right? And a sector of the service industry for yourself. Like, what was the path for you to get here?
Oh my gosh, it's been a journey. It's truly been a journey. I started, and I'll go all the way back to high school. I just said that when I was always the high achiever, high performer, always doing my best to be on that treadmill and to mm-hmm. work really hard and to be successful at it. And I said, I just want to be able to write and talk when I get into my career. And so I thought, okay, well then I'll go into public relations. And so I just went down that path and kind of blindly poured myself into that path. And then I graduate college, I get into a PR career and I'm like, what is this? This is what I worked my whole life for. It did not compute in my head. Mm-hmm. The long hours, the stressful situations for not stressful work. You know, it wasn't like we were trying to save lives. We were just trying to put put media relations together, right?
Right.
It's not that
it
big
shouldn't
a
be yeah it shouldn't be too stressful.
Exactly. So okay. It didn't make sense to me. And so I then tried to change jobs and went to a digital agency startup, which was great because I learned a lot and I met my future husband there. So universally, I feel like I was meant to be there.
To be there.
Yes. But again, coming back to the same work hard, play hard mentality, just kind of killing myself, literally killing myself from a stress standpoint, health standpoint, relationship standpoint, over a job at such a young age. And when I was looking to the future, all I could feel was, if I stay in this job, I'm not going to make it to 60. And I am not definitely not making enough money right now to live that short of a life,
life
and to not actually experience life. Right.
Yeah. To sacrifice all of this.
And I asked, this is, I think, going to be helpful. A big part of the story was that at one point I was having this awareness and I sat down with our CEO at the time, who was also in his 20s, young, like doing the best that he could to manage this growing company. And I said, why are we doing this? Why are we killing ourselves over all of this work and putting in all of these long hours? And he said, well, I don't know why you're doing it, but I'm doing it for money. And I looked at, that's what he said. That's what
because,
his why
and you weren't
was.
Like, it wasn't like a super high paying. So like, it wouldn't make sense for you to be doing all of that because the money wasn't like, so it made sense for him. And it was just money, which is usually anybody's advice. Usually, especially with entrepreneurs, is you can't just do it for the money. You have to do it for some other reason.
But I feel like in a certain industry, especially when it comes to technology and you have startups and you're trying to get acquired and you're trying to be invested in, it really does come down to the money for most people. Even if they say
it doesn't.
Oh,
yeah.
I really care about whatever I'm building. It's just not true for a lot of industries.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm speaking out of line, but that's just my own experience. And so he said that. And I was, Barbara, I was only making $40,000 a year.
So you're like, I'm not doing this for the money.
And I was managing their biggest accounts. And I said, I'm clearly not doing this for the money.
Right.
I'm not getting a payout at the end of this. So what it did for me was that gave me the pivotal freedom point to say, detach right. from someone else's vision of what they're trying to do, because it is not in alignment. And if I don't understand my why, mm-hmm. then what am I doing? Mm-hmm. Why am I here in investing in this mission and what they're trying to do if I'm not in alignment with that? I need to take care of me first mm-hmm. and make sure that I'm honoring my why and I'm taking care of my health and I'm taking care of my relationships and all these things that are really important to me that I've been letting go to the wayside because I thought we were all trying to do something here, but that's not actually the case.
Yeah, that's not true.
Right. So that was the first unlock that allowed me to kind of step off the treadmill and say, oh, I see the gap here.
Yeah.
And so after a series of events, there were some moral decisions that were made, not even on the company side, but on a client side at one point that triggered me to just put in my 2 weeks notice. I had gotten to the point where I intuitively knew that I was done. And so I kind of cut the cord and jumped off the cliff and said, all right, I'm going to build my parachute as I go. And so I gave myself a 30-day sabbatical. I had no money, Barbara. Okay. I had no money, no savings. This is not the way that I recommend it for
anyone. I was
going
to say,
listening.
All I say to people is like, before you jump, like have your emergency fund, like have it be profitable, have a couple clients, like do it work nights and weekends. And so it's easier.
I wish I knew you then. You would have told me, do not jump yet. Just hold on a little longer. Let's put a plan
just
in place.
Just save a little bit more.
Yes. So I jumped. I cut the cord. I jumped. And I said, I'll just give myself 30 days to figure out what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. And which was great. It gave me a ton of pressure to mm-hmm. figure out what I'm actually going to do. And I did. I built the foundations of our work that is today, that we're doing today.
Oh, wow.
And I had the book that we have, Strategic Planning for Life, the foundation, the first three modules were all built during that 30 days. And I did use all of that to help me pick my trajectory, figure out how to start making money on my own, get clients. And basically what I decided at 27, which this continues to shock me and others at 27, I decided I'm going to be a life coach and go down a route of giving people wisdom from a place of, I've only really had 27 years of life to coach wisdom.
Yeah, that's incredible. So your first entry into this succeeded. Like you didn't, because a lot of people, which is fine, like usually the first venture, like my first venture did not succeed. Like it's very often that like you attempted and it's like, okay, well that didn't work quite the way I wanted to, so I'm gonna regroup and try again. So that's, I mean, yeah,
No,
that's super
no, no,
impressive.
no. That did not take the impressive part out. It was not. That's ha not. It was not that simple. It was so hard in that time because I got such flack and feedback. And it's funny that that we get to talk about it here on the Future Rich podcast, because the financial side of it wasn't returning as quickly as what everyone around me thought that it should. And so it
Oh, okay.
started growing. Really, like I started taking on a client, and then I took on another individual client, and then I took on a business client. But it was very like a small growth. And
Okay.
so it wasn't to the financial perspective that I thought it should be. It wasn't growing as fast as I thought it should. I come from a tech startup. So there
Yeah.
was this whole
High
perspective of
growth.
high growth.
Growth,
It
yeah.
should be return. You should be returning such a high amount at such an early stage. And so
Which
I
is not
started.
true. Yeah. For traditional
Exactly.
businesses, it doesn't work like that.
Exactly. So for anyone listening, it was not smooth. It was up and down. It was trying all of these different things, trial and error. I was very much on my own. And I realized at that time, I didn't end up wanting to do it on my own. I wanted to be able to bring Phil in, but it was still a couple of years before we were going to be able to do that. And before
Okay.
he was like emotionally ready to do that. So the one thing I would have shifted is I would have always trusted, if I could go back and tell my younger self, in that stage, be okay in the
The
starting and
unknown.
starting and the unknown, and always trust your intuition. Like, stay tethered to that no matter what, even if everyone else is questioning your decisions. Find the people who are going to guide you and give you good advice,
Yep, and support you.
and support you. But the worst mistake I made was listening to other people's perspectives and expectations of where I should be, instead of just tuning in and trusting, I know what I'm doing. I can figure this out. It's not going to be perfect right away. It shouldn't be perfect right away.
No,
And
I
just
mean,
be
nothing
okay in
is.
the
Yeah.
ride.
And I also do think that a lot of people have a lot of opinions about how to be an entrepreneur. And usually the strongest opinions are from the people who have never done it,
Right.
is what I found.
Yeah, it's scary. It's scary. And the expectations of what entrepreneurship is, and all the stories out there, follow your passion and the money will come, and the money will take care of itself. It's not true. You have to figure out how to
To feed
create,
yourself.
to
Yeah,
feed
you
yourself.
need to eat to succeed.
Yes. And you
Yeah.
know what? In that perspective, what I say about this entrepreneurship journey is I have figured out how to make money from nothing. And so that is a skill that I would forever go back and do again. So
To
no
have that.
matter, to have that skill, I would do it again, because if I can figure that out and be able to create something from nothing and make money from that, then that means that no matter whatever trials and tribulations come in the future, I
You
can handle
always.
that. And I want to be able to teach my kids that.
And you can always take care of yourself. Like you
Always take
have
care of
that
myself.
superpower of being able to create revenue, which is really rare, right? To be able to create an entity, make it profitable on your own and create your own, I don't know what to call, like I would call it an asset class if I was in finance, but like it's not an asset class. So I don't know what the word would be, but own avenue, right? Of coaching, a very specific type of coaching that you created. Yeah, that's a really powerful tool. But yeah, there's a lot of feedback when you decide to go out and be an entrepreneur from everybody else. Because you're trained, I think we're trained, society trains us to take the safe, consistent path of least resistance that everyone else is on, right? Like to take the path that everyone else is walking, which is to go get a corporate job, stay in the corporate job for a set number of time, set number of years, and then, move every few years to get your pay raise, and you just continue on this for 40 years, right? That's the norm. And so when you do something different, you get a lot of unsolicited feedback and advice, I think.
It's so true. And I took the brunt of it, because one thing that I'll say about Phil and I is that we never follow the paved path. We never follow what we're supposed to follow. And I think it drives our parents absolutely bonkers. But now they're just used to it. Now they expect us to do something. We just say it's the dirt road ahead and the paved path behind, that we're
Oh, I love that.
constantly, yeah, we just are constantly open to the idea of we're always going to, we just tend to err on the side of like, we're gonna do something differently than
Different.
what everyone else is doing, just based on like what we actually want, and be open to the creative solutions that will allow us to do those things. And then we kind of pave a road behind us. But we're always going to make some very different decisions. And I kind of took the lead on that early on at 27 and took all that lack and that feedback. But then once we started to kind of join up and do that together, then everyone around us got a little bit more comfortable with the way we were doing things, which is, you know, very helpful.
Was it scary to go into business with your partner? I mean, that's like you're working together, married, have kids. Like you don't see that often.
No, it was not scary at all. We met at work. And what we found was when I left the job and he was still there, our relationship wasn't as strong and as healthy when we weren't working together. We have this like incredible energy, especially when we're creating something. Like writing this book took a couple days. It just like I could let all of the writing poured out of me. I just booked a hotel room, let it all pour out of me. And then he turns around and he takes all that structure and he designs it up. So for us to create, it's just this like, and it was always magic. Like that. Yeah, it's magic. And it was like that even at the agency we were at. So getting into business together only made sense. And I had maybe intuitively, I had written it down 2 years before. I said, I will work with Phil, but I just wasn't sure how it was going to happen.
Okay.
And what ultimately ended up coming to fruition was I got pregnant and he had this moment where he was at a client in Texas and he had been traveling all the time, kind of running thin. You know, this was still a growing startup and they were positioned to be acquired and that was the goal. And he was a partner. So he would net out when the acquisition happened. But he had this moment and we call it the Zach Morris moment, which is from Saved by the Bell. For anyone listening who doesn't remember that, it was a show on TV and the Zach Morris moment is where everything freezes except for him. And he had this moment at a client meeting where he realized, I don't want this future. I do not want to be an unpresent, like not present with my children. I don't want to be traveling all the time. I don't want to be working all the time, investing in the visions and the missions of all these other companies. And at the time, the people in the meeting just didn't even care about what he was presenting. And he had just spent his entire week mapping
out,
working this out. And they didn't even care. And so he had this very clear vision of, I don't want this future. And he came home from that trip and said, I want to start working me out of the job. And so we spent the entire pregnancy using our strategic planning process to help transition him out of that position. And we had to make some very big decisions. Are we going to walk away from potentially millions of dollars in equity?
Right, and equity positions.
And equity positions and have our new family, have a child, walk away from salary, equity,
health insurance,
Barbara, all the things.
Yeah, all the things that are like give me anxiety.
Yes. If you, again, I wish you would have been with us, but it's probably a good thing that you weren't because then it wouldn't have happened.
Oh my gosh.
And we did not do it. Unlike my situation where I clip jumped, this was a very different situation.
This was intentional.
This was, we had a budget that we had been working with since we got married. That we have a way in which we tie our business and our any type of revenue that's coming in with our top line, with our bottom line family. So we're seeing the flow through for every decision that we make, what's impacting us. And so we were just really looking at what are our projections, what's going to happen after this. So we had a plan for what was going to happen, how we were going to make money, and what we were going to do for ourselves after he left that position. But yeah, we were giving up a lot.
Well, and that's why I do think on the podcast, we talk a lot about that. I don't think money is the end all be all, and having more money doesn't solve all problems. Like, you just can't always throw money at everything. Like if you have millions and millions of dollars, but you're completely miserable, it didn't really serve its purpose. Right. And so I do really still believe in, like, I was making more money on Wall Street before I left. Like I left for a fraction, but with the opportunity to have more control and to do work that was more impactful. Like there's reasons, right, where you maybe don't choose. And I actually still, advice I'd always been given is you shouldn't make life decisions just based on money. There should be a motivator for it, a reason, because money in life, which unfortunately it doesn't happen to everybody, but you see often money comes and goes. It's not always, there's an ebb and a flow to it. And there'll be times where it flows a lot. There'll be times where it's completely dried up. And so I think if you make your decisions purely on money, not to say there's not times where that's appropriate, but generally speaking, that it doesn't always lead you down the best path for your life.
it would not have led us down the best path for our life in this case. I mean, I went into labor on November 28th and called Phil on November 29th and said, or no, on November 28th and said, okay, it's time for you to come home. And that was the last time that he was at that job. And that was then him becoming a father and starting a business all at the same time, really.
Wow. Big changes.
It was big change. But a couple of years later, the company got acquired. And so, you know, you see all the messages on LinkedIn of the acquisition and how much it was. And we had this really wonderful moment where we got to connect. And I said, how do you feel when you look at what all your counterparts and other partners, what they're netting out at? How does it make you feel? And he said, I would not give up the years of presence with our son for that amount of money any day. Right. Because of what he would have had to give up with his time.
Right.
He would have given up.
There's always sacrifice.
Amounts. Yes. And in that time, we figured out how to make money. We traveled the world. We were like super present and connected and defining this lifestyle foundation for ourselves. And we wouldn't have traded that in for anything.
Right. Cause that's the thing. Money can't buy that, right? Like money, you know, on your deathbed, you're not going to be able to say like, oh, that I want it. More money, right? It's more experiences, more times with your friends and family, more impact on your world, right? So that makes total sense.
Our next partner has a product I use literally every day. I started taking AG1 because these past few months I've been prioritizing my health as I've recovered from a nasty case of long haul COVID. I love that it takes the mental work out of getting my vitamins and supplements in because with just one scoop of AG1, you're getting 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food sourced ingredients, and probiotics. It's been super simple to incorporate into my morning routine because there's virtually no prep required and it tastes great. Plus, it's way cheaper than a fancy coffee habit. If you want to give it a try, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/futurerich. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/futurerich to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
So what is your advice to people who are listening? I think the intentionality is super important. So if you were going to give our listeners, I mean, obviously you should check out your book and your coaching, but like if you were to give people like 3 pieces of advice of like ways they could be more intentional with planning their own lives, what would you say?
Oh, around money or just in general?
In general.
Oh, okay. Well, I think the first piece is awareness, and you and I have talked about this, and awareness is not just about your personal self, right? But you have to understand who you are, what you want, what you actually value in life. And you can just ask yourself those core key questions, and that will give you a tremendous shift in the decisions that you make and the priorities that you put in place. But awareness also equals your resources. We didn't do any of that as like fun and cool as it sounds to do a life like that and to prioritize our time. None of that came without awareness of all of our resources and awareness of our financial systems and awareness of where we were at any given moment to be able to make decisions. So I think awareness being a huge piece of the puzzle at any given point, understanding your data points for your whole life, your holistic life, not just one part, not just your work, not just your money, not just your self-development, but literally all of it, I think is the first piece of the puzzle. And those can be very simple. It doesn't have to be this big amount. It could just be like, who am I? How would I define who I am? How would I define what I value? How do I define what I actually want in life? What kind of resources do I have? Where do I want to go in life? Right. Mm-hmm. The second one I would say is, you know, we talk a lot about, it's really great to have awareness, but it's so important to actually implement all of these
things. That's interesting. Yeah, it's one thing to know about it, but then if you do nothing with the knowledge, it's not as impactful. Yeah.
You can have a spreadsheet of data all day, but if you do not actually use that data to apply it to life and actually integrate it, then it's going nowhere. So
yeah, that's really powerful. It's the implementation, right? And that's always the hardest part for people.
Yeah. I think that piece is, it is the hardest part. And even in our work, because we go from awareness to integration, and awareness feels for most people like, oh, we get to like do this deep dive and I get to learn all these things about myself. But as soon as we start to get clearer and clearer about how you put it into practice, it gets harder and harder the more specific you get. And so that piece of integration, and when I say that more specifically, I'll say your systems, your tools, having, for instance, to bring it back to the conversation we're having today, but like having that budget and using it consistently and having like, I'm going to look at it monthly and update it monthly. And I'm going to practice making this a part of my life for the things that are really important. We talk about systems a lot, like systematize it into your life. If you have relationships that are most important to you, systematize them into your life. Be intentional about it. Set up a time where you get together with them frequently, right?
Right. You have to prioritize those things. And sometimes the boring work, which is like implementing it, having a system, is the part that people don't do. And it usually is the reason the systems and the boring part is usually aligned with the success, right? Yes.
Right.
Doing the hard work.
I think we get so caught up in integration looks like doing these really big things in life, making a really big investment, doing something really flashy, right? But it's not. It is actually the boring little things that are almost insignificant when done consistently. We call it the new ROI, right? The return on intention, that it builds and builds and builds and actually makes that long-term difference that you truly want, instead of, oh, well, I have all this awareness, but I've done nothing with it. So I still netted out in the exact same place.
I'm exactly where I was before the awareness.
Yes, 100%. And the third piece I would say is you have to invest in yourself. You have to, there's a core piece of our work that's called non-negotiables, and making sure these non-negotiables, we call them daily, but they can be monthly, they can be weekly. It doesn't matter, but it's those things that fill your cup, that give you energy, that fuel you, so that when the time comes to make decisions or to operate in life, that you have the energy and the ability to make those decisions and to do what you need to do, and making sure that your cup is full in all the areas, but being able to take care of yourself so that you can kind of show up in your best centered self at all times helps to make any life decision so much clearer and feel so much better.
I was gonna say, do you find when you're working with people that they don't know, like, are they able to identify their non-negotiables right off the bat? Or is it something that like takes a beat to like take a step back and be like, oh, I actually don't know what these are. I've
you
never
know what?
Been asked.
We tend to start mentioning the non-negotiables at the beginning of the work. And some people can say a couple of them, but we intentionally put it at the end of our work for that reason. Because once they've really kind of examined themselves and then started to implement and seen some of their tendencies, it's helpful to have all of that awareness before they start defining what those non-negotiables should be. And those non-negotiables should also be connected to how do you want to spend your time? Who do you want to be? What do you want to do with your life? If you want to write a book, then one of your non-negotiables might need to be, I'm going to write a little bit every day.
Right. And that's commit my the time to the goal. Yeah. To get me to where that little bit, right. You don't just wake up one day and write an entire book. It just,
it does not happen.
That does not happen.
You have to be writing, and it doesn't have to be, I'm writing the book. It just has to be, I'm in the practice of writing. Right.
And I'm moving the needle little by little to little to get to the goal. Right. Cause you don't wake up and run a marathon, right?
Right.
We run a mile, we run 2 miles. You have to like work to the goal.
Just like if you want to have a great retirement account, you don't just wake up one day and have the healthy retirement account.
You don't come into my office at 57 and say, in 3 years, I'd like to retire with $4 million. Like, no, we're not, I'm not a magician. Like, I don't have a money tree. Like, yes, you have to do the small, I guess it's like the small, boring, like pieces is what people, so it sounds very similar, like the same thing, it's totally aligned with money. Like you have to have the $4 million at 60, we go back to when you're 25 and we're putting $100 away, right? And we're increasing it and the intentionality and doing the hard little boring pieces.
Right, because what if someone says, at the end of life, I want to have a really healthy relationship with my kids and my grandkids, right? Cool. Wonderful. What are you investing now? What are you investing at 30? What are you investing in them at 40? And if that, it doesn't, if you're investing even 10 quality minutes in those relationships at their young ages, that's going to build up and compound over time to get you to that point where you have those really healthy relationships. But if you ignore them and you shuttle them off and you don't spend time with them because everything else in life is a priority except for that time, then you can't get to the end of life and be like, oh, I
have a strong
have these relationships.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't. And I'm wondering why.
You know, that's so interesting that I think for me, that's always happened unintentionally, that family has just always been, I was brought up that family is important. Family comes first. Family's always there for you. It's always been very ingrained that family, 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 like you don't fight with your sister. You always resolve it. At the end of the day, the only thing you'll ever have is been the rhetoric is your family, which I just assumed was how everyone else grew up. You don't know, you know, when you grew up. And so like we had Sunday family dinners. That wasn't a choice. I mean, I loved it, but like, it wasn't like, oh, we're going to have our own dinner. Like on Sunday, the entire family, all my cousins, all my aunts and uncles, like we had hot dogs and it's like a New England meal. We have like not fancy hot dogs and beans every Sunday, my entire life. Like it was just that we had Sunday and it was just always non-negotiable. Like if I was moving, my cousins just had to help. Like I called my cousin. I was like, you have to take me to IKEA. He's like, I don't want to take you to IKEA. I was like, well, then I'll call grandpa. You're going to take me to IKEA. That's what you do. Like, you have to help me. I'm your cousin. There's no choice. So that's really interesting because I didn't even think about that. But yeah, that's true. If you don't, like, I have great relationships with my cousins. They're almost like siblings, but we grew up together. And that was part of our family structure that it was just non-negotiable. You show up for your family. You do, like, you just, I guess you could say no, but like, it was ingrained in us.
Right. If at any point you said, okay, well, family isn't actually, that is not my personal priority. Mm-hmm. You say, no, I'm not going to go to all of those. But the fact is that that was an ingrained family value, which, you know, we talk about strategic plans for individuals, but we also clearly have strategic plans for family,
Yeah.
And then for, what does that mean for our business? Right. And so you can kind of go outward like that. And at that, if you say we do this as a family, those relationships and bonds are built and strengthened in those consistent small moments.
That right. Sunday dinner every
Sunday
right
dinner.
All dinner that's really interesting.
That was a system. That's a system, right
that
there.
That was a system. Yeah, you're right. And I didn't even think about it. It was just like every Sunday we went to grandma and grandpa. Everybody went to grandma and grandpa's every Sunday for decades until they passed away. And then when they passed away, now we just do birthday parties and holidays. But as I've gotten older, what I've realized is that other people don't do that, right? That isn't. And so now that you're saying it, you're right. It is a system. I would have never recognized it as a system. But I found out now as an adult, like for my husband, so it was his 40th birthday. Our family birthdays are big deals. Like you get to choose your dinner. Everybody comes and you get a cake. And now we get a little older. We've got, it's like a lot of people. It's 18 people. It's a lot of birthdays. And so now we do birthday months. So like, you share, I don't share because no one else is born in August, but if I got very lucky, if your birthday month happens to have another person, you share, you can have two separate cake. Everybody can have their own cake, but you share. So like my dad shares with Uncle Jack and that is a sauerbraten meal because they both like sauerbraten. Like you get a, it's very, so my husband now, like he did not grow up like this. This is, they don't do anything. So for his 40th birthday, I just assumed his family would fly for his birthday party because it's his 40. I mean, we do birthdays like, and like when it's a big birthday, it's a real big party. Like if it's a regular birthday, it's just your normal dinner and cake. If it's a big party, if it's a big birthday, it's a bigger, you get your own, you don't have to share for those ones. And so his parents were like, oh yeah, we're not coming. And I was like, what? This is 40th birthday. What do you mean? You're busy. He turns 40 one time his entire life. It happens once and you're busy. And my parents were like, okay, when do we have to fly out there? And I was like, well, you guys can't fly if his parents can't. Like, I mean, we can't like, but my parents were like, it's a birthday. Yeah, we're on a flight. Where do we need to be? What's the dress code? Are we making t-shirts? Is it a week? Is it a weekend? But you're right. That's a system. And I would have never thought about that. And so my intention for my own family is like, family is first. Family is the priority. Because I've grown up with that. And I think that's, and other people might not like it, but for me, that's super important. And that's really interesting because I would have never even thought that that's part of being intentional with your life planning, right? Because to me, it just happened.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And the important part that you're at too, that I think we often forget about, especially in our partnerships, is that these are two people coming together who have very different backgrounds and experiences and family value sets. And so having those conversations like you're having and being able to say, what do we as this new family
yep.
to create, because you become the matriarch and patriarch, right? You become the ones who are going to be creating that generational hand-me-down of values and systems. And so you have to kind of come together and say, as a family now, what do we want to create for our family and for the people who, you know, our parents, and how they can interact? And that intentionality, yes, is very important on your own, but when you're creating that for a family, it's so valuable to have that alignment and that connection.
Because his first impression was like, how many events are there every year? And I was like, oh, well, you know, everyone's birthday is, you know, I don't make every, I mean, there's 18 birthday parties. It's a lot when you don't live, you know, when we all lived in the same, you know, 10 mile radius, it's super easy. But now that we've adult, like the family's grown, right? Grandparents are deceased and like everyone's older and married, like, you know, we have jobs. We can't make every birthday party, right?
It's right, right.
You do best. And we also have family vacation. I mean, there's a lot. We have the big family vacation. Then we have my parents' family vacation. I mean, there's a lot. If you signing up for my family, there's got to be like at least 25 events a year. It's just like every other week. It's so best efforts. But for my husband, he was like, how many events? Like, and there's like, we make t-shirts. It's like the whole thing, you know? So
you're hitting on another currency. So Phil and I talk a lot about currencies, especially in lifestyle design. So, you know, there's money as a currency, there's time as a currency. What you're also hitting on though is energetic currency. And so what might feel very filling and fueling to you and feel very like it's driving your energy and giving you a lot of a return, for him, it might feel like a drain, right? And I don't know that to be true, but maybe too many of them, or how he is interactive in it, might be a drain. And so even having that awareness of each other or other people in your life about, okay, what does this do to you if we have this many parties and we get this extreme? What does this do to your energy? That doesn't mean we don't have to do it. It just means maybe he takes a different role. And I'm more just using your example. We have the exact same thing. We just kind of pay attention to, is this giving me energy as a currency?
Or,
is it putting
or take? Yeah.
Right. Is this going in my bank account, or is it making that energy come out of my bank account?
Yeah. Is it a deposit or a withdrawal?
Right. Exactly. So being able to understand that and see that in ourselves as people and how we're making decisions, and then also in each other, and especially when we're making decisions together or making plans together, is like life-changing, right? Because then it's not just the currency of money. It's not just the currency of time. It's not just the currency of love. Also energy and how we're feeling.
Energy. Yeah, that's incredible. Because you have people come grow, like he grew up completely differently than I did. I didn't know that birthday parties, I can't imagine a world where your birthday wasn't the biggest deal for that month. Like I just...
Barbara, I need to be in your family because I get so much smack in my family because I love birthdays and I will celebrate them for a month. So it feels like I need to be transplanted into your family. If there's ever a time he doesn't want to go,
you're on. Okay,
happily jump in.
I mean, we just like a good theme, you know? And so like when I ran a marathon, my dad made t-shirts for everybody. So we just really like a good time, really, the family just likes a good time. So it's good. But it's interesting.
You're my kind of family.
Yeah, you're welcome anytime. but yeah, it's really interesting when you talk about like the various aspects, because I think a lot of people, which is why I wanted to have you on, think just about the money intentionality. Like this is one, but it's only one aspect of your life, right? Mm-hmm. There is like the currency of time and joy, right? All the other aspects that you're bringing up. So I think that's so important to like be conscious of it and be intentional.
Yeah, just being intentional. And I always say you just put it in its place. Right. I think so often we, at least in a lot of our clients, we see the priority falling to work, career, mm-hmm. business, entrepreneurship, money. Right. Yep. We see that priority when they're coming in. There's a lot of priority there. It's not saying that other things aren't on the priority list, family, relationships, travel. Mm-hmm. That stuff is all already happening. But once we're getting into the work and we start to get into those values and intentions, people start to realize, like, oh, I've just had my priorities out of whack, and I need my career and my work still, and my money still is on the list. It just needs to be put in its place. And then I need to plan around that. So I'm still responsible. I'm still respecting it all. And I'm still taking care of those things, but it all needs to work more healthfully together, holistically.
Holistic. I say it needs to be more holistic, and you need more to holistic. Know it. Yeah. This, Krista, this has been incredible. I knew it would be. I'm so excited to have shared your wisdom with our listeners. Where is the best place they can find you and your book and connect?
Oh, thank you. This has been wonderful. You can find us at owlandkey.co. That's owlandkey. .co, not .com. So that's a key difference.
No M.
No M. And then, you know, usually we're most on Instagram at owl_and_key.
Okay.
And you can also find us on the Unlocked podcast, and Barbara will be on that here soon. So we're excited to launch that out to our community.
Yes, this is wonderful. And we'll share all of that on the show notes as well, just to make it a little easier for everybody.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for having me. This was a joy.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.